What is going on, everybody? Casey here, Virginia Game Day, checking in with a very special episode of the podcast. Virginia is going dancing. A couple hours ago, no one thought that we would be in this situation, but here we are. They got in, and everyone had us out. Lenardi, Jerry Palm, Field of 68, Fox Sports, everyone had us out, but the resume is clean, no bad losses, and when we get in as a 10 seed, we're going to be playing in Dayton, the first four against Colorado State. To be where we were a couple hours ago, this is recorded on Sunday night after the show, or even a couple days ago against NC State and that whole debacle, missing the free throw, having the game, and then losing it, all that stuff. You know, it's cool to get this kind of surprise bid and like, yo, now we're playing with house money. So let's get a win for Reese, his first NCAA tournament win. Ryan Dunn could be his last chance to win a tournament game. Jordan Miner wasn't able to go to the tournament at Merrimack because they weren't eligible yet, but they won the conference tournament. And or for the younger guys, it could be a huge building block to maybe be a big contender down the road. You know, we got players. We're getting more players. So, you know, this is a big blessing. And now make a Sweet 16 run. Do something crazy, man. Like Ash Roth said, do something crazy. Colorado State's no slouch for sure, though. They're experienced and we're young. That's one thing that I will tell you. They got a lot of seniors in their lineup. They got some size. That could be a problem for Virginia, but listen, you got to believe at this point. You got to believe in coach. You got to believe in the guys, and I'm super happy. And fans are – I wish you could have seen the reaction when that freaking name went on the screen. I'm like, oh, my God, it's happening. When A&M came out as a 9 a little earlier, I was like, oh, shit, maybe we got a chance. Because, like, in everyone's projections, A&M was, like, wasn't too far ahead of Virginia. I'm like, all right, A&M is a 9. That's okay. Like, maybe everything moved up a little bit. And here we are in the tournament. Super happy to have the spot. And we'll go over some of their what could happen later and, you know, the other matchups that could happen. But being the one team that kind of, like, the Lenardis and all those guys, they kind of have the field right. Their seeding was way off, but the one team they didn't have right was Virginia, and they had a lot of them had Oklahoma in. And being that one team who's kind of like one of the last ones to get the call, you're going to get a lot of hate, and you know how it goes with Virginia haters. You know, Twitter is a buzz. The dude, Pat Ford from Sports Illustrated, who wrote the hit piece last year after Furman, and it's just always trashing UVA. Everyone's out there hating. I heard a ton of it at the ACC tournament. The dudes in front of us were like, oh, I hate Virginia. They only play defense. You know, you guys know how that goes. Y'all have heard that 1,000 times. So the haters are certainly out, but when you look at the resume by itself, no quad three, no quad four losses. I think that's the thing that got Virginia in. You know, when you just look at the resume without the like 24-point losses and the how big the losses were, it's a good resume. But when you look at like the Ken Poms and the Nets and all that stuff, they factor in the amounts of losses and wins. So Virginia never blows a ton of people out, but this year they got blown out a lot. So that hurt those metrics. But when you look at it, just wins, losses, who'd you beat, who'd you lose to? It's a solid resume. And I think that's what the committee saw. And if you're going to give us, you know, the no quad three, no quad four losses being one of the things that put us over the top, you've really got to thank Notre Dame, because at a certain point this year, for a lot of the year, we did have a quad three loss. Losing at Notre Dame earlier in the year was a quad three loss. But then Notre Dame went and played their way into being a quad two loss. So thank you, Notre Dame. You guys definitely helped us get in the tournament. You know, thank you to Florida and Texas A&M winning some games in their conference tournament. Excuse me, winning some games in their conference tournament to help us out. No Q3, Q4 losses, and us having a 10-10 record against quad one and quad two teams, and having three wins against tournament teams. We got a win against Florida, win against A&M, win against Clemson. All three teams who are at large bids. So we got three wins against the field, and you look at a team like, you know, St. John's or somebody who was thought to be ahead of Virginia, they don't have a lot of wins against teams that made the tournament. And they the Big East didn't do as well as they thought they were going to. Yeah, if you look at, you know, St. John's, only team they ended up beating was Creighton, who made it into the tournament. So Virginia has metrics. So let the people hate. Hopefully we take care of business and show them that we belong here. And I think we will. I recorded this one time already and didn't have my mic plugged in. So I'm trying to remember what I went over and what I didn't and all that stuff. But yeah. But yeah, it's a good day to be Wahoo. It's always a roller coaster. I was telling the story on the first time I tried to record this podcast when IMAC went to the free throw line. After, you know, being up 3, 5 seconds left, IMAC goes to the free throw line. UNC fans next to us were like, "Hey, man, we'll see you in the championship game tomorrow." Da, 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 and they were leaving. I'm like, "Bro, you don't know Virginia basketball. You got to be at 0-0-0 before we can celebrate. Like, that's not guaranteed. We got to make this free throw." And sure enough, y'all know what happened. But, and when that free throw missed, every Virginia fan was like, "Oh, this game's going overtime." And here we go. But yeah. I was like, y'all are jinxing us right now, guys. Come on. Come on. I haven't talked to you guys since that happened. I was there with my wife, and DC did a good job hosting the event. I know a lot of people don't like it being out of Greensboro, but DC did a good job. The Duke fan base showed up. UNC fan base showed up. Pitt fan base really showed out. NC State was good, too. You know, the further they got, the fan support was really good, and it's not too far from the historical stuff. You got nice hotels, old Epic Grill. There's a lot of good places to eat late night, even after, you know, the games are getting out late, because Virginia was playing late and, you know, you're not getting back to your hotel till after midnight. So it was a really good time. It's a shame that we didn't hit the free throws when we could have and all that good stuff. But you guys know how that went already. But ACC tournament every year is really fun. And you get to see, interact with other teams' fans, and it's like a nice celebration of college basketball and the conference and all that good stuff. So Virginia ends up getting in despite all the bid thieves. It all worked out for the time being. Let's beat Colorado State and move on. This is what it could look like in our little region here, the Midwest region. We got Purdue in that region, could set up a, you know, rematch if things shake out with the Elite Eight 2019. But Purdue's the number one seed. They're going to play the winner of Grambling and Montana State. Then Utah State, TCU is the 8-9 game. Gonzaga, McNeese State is the 5-12 game. I like McNeese there. Will Wade, former LSU coach who got in trouble. They got a good team. They won 30 games this year. So that's, I like that 12 over 5. Not that that's what I'm doing here, but Kansas, Samford. Kansas has been a bit down lately, so Samford, people like that as an upset pick too. South Carolina they were like picked to be last in the conference, and here they are getting an at-large bid. So shout out to them. They play Oregon. That's a 6-11 game. Creighton, Akron, 3-14. Creighton, Isaac Trout. That's another chance, another UVA connection that could happen. Texas against UVA, and then Tennessee, St. Peter's. I like us beating Colorado State. I even like the matchup against Texas and rematch with Caden Shedrick, who said some shitty things on the way out about Virginia, about the system holding them back and not, you know, loving how the coaching staff like communicated his benching, da 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 da. And he's had some good games this year at Texas, but if you look at his stat line, it's the same as when he was at Virginia. So I'd love to see him again, and I think we can beat Texas. I don't love the Tennessee-Virginia matchup potentially, but maybe St. Peter's, you know, Tennessee-St. Peter's, maybe they can pull that magic from last year and save us the trouble of Tennessee if Virginia can actually win a few games. Randolph Childress from Field of 68 said on the post-game, whatever selection show, that he likes Virginia to win a couple games. It's good to see somebody in the national media not, you know, with the Virginia logo on their chest or hat saying that kind of stuff. So people still believe, and, you know, people trust Tony Bennett, trust the defense, and hey, I'm hoping they're right. I'm hoping they are right. But yeah, it's the best time of year. Go fill out 100 brackets on the ESPN app. Go fill out some paper brackets. I'll probably try and do a free Virginia Game Day one that I do every year, free to enter, and then give away some prize for the winner. So look out for that. Shout out to Virginia Baseball for winning the series this weekend against Wake Forest. That's huge. Top 10 team going down. It's a good day to be Oahu, and man, you got to be grateful for how things shook out, man. Let them hate, but at the end of the day, the good karma of having a good program and a good coach and a team that does things the right way and doesn't have, like, we're not, you know, paying dudes millions of dollars to come here and play. All that good karma worked out for us here, and here we are in the tournament. And I truly believe that we deserve to be here. If you want to see what it means to these kids, go look at the video that Reese Beekman posted of Leon Bond, him finding out, and just like, he hasn't played a ton lately, but it still means a ton to him. You see how much it means to him getting to the tournament. And I've heard stories about Leon. He's just a huge Wahoo. He loves this program, loves this school, and that's what it's all about. Virginia does it the right way. You guys know that. And I wish, and that, you know, the fans, college basketball fans, really appreciated that more. But yeah, we got to get the monkey off our back. Haven't won a tournament game since the national championship. So hopefully this is the year. You know, things, it's been a roller coaster. So hopefully we can hit an upswing. It's Tuesday night, quick turnaround. Go fill out them brackets. Maybe there'll be another podcast before the Tuesday game. We'll see. But we'll definitely be touching base this week with some podcasts and Virginia Game Day content. So thanks for listening at Virginia Game Day on Instagram, Virginia Game Day Podcast, all the major platforms. Y'all are the best. Go Wahoos. Let's get us a dub in this first four in Dayton. Here we go.